seems like only yesterday that we had our first frost. Now, here we are after our official last frost date, dancing through wildflowers. Welcome to The Nature of Phenology, where we share the cycles and seasons of the outdoors. I'm your host, Hazel Stark. I love each phase of spring, especially as each one seems even more awe-inspiring than the last. It starts slow, with the turkey vultures arriving in March to help with cleanup after the tough winter. Spring speeds up in April, with the sun finally feeling truly warm and migrating birds arriving and singing apparently one at a time. From the somewhat harsh sounds of red-winged blackbirds and phoebes, to the Morse code-like drumming of yellow-bellied sapsuckers, to the peaceful music of a hermit thrush, I can ease into the busyness of warmer days by appreciating each of these harbingers of spring all on their own, without distraction. Though I suppose the sunlight catching the magenta flowers of a beaked hazelnut or the ruby flowers of a red maple at the same time are a bit distracting. But the third phase of spring, in May, is almost too full of distractions. With more flowers blooming and buds bursting to reveal pale green leaves, all our warblers arriving, and the buzz of black flies surrounding us, it's too easy to let the reawakening of the earth blur into some kind of generic sound and sight of spring without picking out any one thing on its own. But one way to avoid spring overstimulation is to focus on one thing at a time and really get to know it. An ideal plant to focus on this time of year is the aptly named Canada Mayflower. These native plants are incredibly common, so much so that they are often overlooked. I associate them with fiddlehead season, when I often find myself walking slowly along a streamside forest floor, staring at the ground. Canada Mayflower first appears as a single, shiny oval leaf with a pointed tip and a broad clasping base that hugs the short stem. Where there is one leaf emerging like this from the forest floor, there are sure to be more nearby as they spread underground by rhizomes. Plants with just one leaf will not flower until next year, but plants that sprout a second leaf from the zigzag stem will send forth a frothy white flower cluster starting in May through early summer. Being typically less than 6 inches tall and sporting little white flowers alongside fairly typical lily-like leaves has Canada Mayflower often confused with Lily of the Valley. Though the latter is much larger and has much more bell-shaped flowers that are not at all fuzzy or frothy-looking from afar. Interestingly, there is not a lot of information about the human uses of Canada Mayflower, though there are some reports of some indigenous tribes using the plant for headaches, sore throats, kidney ailments, and good luck charms. I think one of the loveliest uses of this native plant is to incorporate it into landscaping as a ground cover. It spreads quickly, is happy with slightly acidic, wet soils and partial shade, and is eaten by chipmunks, mice, hares, partridges, and surely others. However, if you are overrun by deer in your area, you might consider whether Canada Mayflower is the best fit for your yard. Does nursing young fawns and bucks growing antlers seek Canada Mayflower as a primary food in the spring due to the extra calcium and phosphorus it contains that they need a bit extra of to support those energy-intensive pursuits. If you like the idea of helping deer achieve these nutrient needs with a native plant in your yard, they might be a great fit. But if you don't want even more deer coming into your yard, maybe leave the Mayflowers to the forest. So the next time you're outside, luxuriating in the near final phase of spring, you could stop and focus on a patch of Canada Mayflowers that is no doubt somewhere nearby. How many of them are flowering or might flower soon based on sporting two leaves? What animal signs do you observe nearby that might rely on this little native plant? And if you are a Latin name nerd like I am, you can appreciate that its genus, Myanthemum, means May blossom, and species, Canadense, refers to Canada, the bulk of its range. You can download this episode and find a link to the transcript, photos, information about podcasting, and more by visiting archives.weru.org. Thanks for listening, and please join us next week for another dive into the nature of phenology.